Okay, it's time for us to get started, and so we have. I have just a few announcements before we proceed this evening. I had to ask if anyone had any health announcements, and really, someone mentioned Jane. Had talked to Jane, and that she wasn't doing very well. We do have one new prayer request, and that is from Rita Pryor. She has had a sinus problem. Infection, whatever you might call it, for about 3 weeks now, and she's asked for prayers in that regard. It might be a good thing if you haven't or already aren't doing it, would be send some cards to the elderly and the shut-in. I know some of these people, like Maxine, haven't been able to get out and see anybody, and I'm sure there are others that are the same way. So if you think about it, a card would be nice to all those that are not shut in because of the virus, but because of they are not able to be out anyway. And that's all I have in the way of announcements, other than to say that Sunday's lesson will be by Brother Jack Dyer, and he will have our lesson Sunday morning. And so we're going to start this evening with a prayer, so if you would. Holy Father, thank you for another day of life that we can concentrate on the blessings you've bestowed upon us through our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. As we are unable to assemble as you have taught us, we pray that you continue to bind us together in love, and that these issues of separation and being scattered in various places will soon be resolved. We pray that our governments choose wisely in their choice of actions in denying us to assemble on the Lord's Day. We implore you to bring this about, Heavenly Father, as there is nothing more essential than coming together on the Lord's Day to worship you. We pray your blessings and care for the confined and elderly of our body, and we thank you that so far that this church has been spared from the coronavirus. We thank you that we are blessed to be able to have a lesson from Brother Bill this evening, and ask that you bless his presentation. We also ask that you remove the cares of this world from our hearts this day, and may we do our utmost for the cause of Christ today and each day of our life. May we dedicate this entire day to Jesus the Christ, in whose name we ask this prayer. Amen. I'm going to be reading the 23rd Psalm, and then Brother Bill will have a lesson for us. I used to have this psalm memorized, but it's been so long since I've tried to say it, I'm going to read it this evening. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anointeth my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Isn't that a wonderful thought?
Well, it's good once again to be able to be with you in this manner. As we have said before, many have said, this is not the same as being together in a body, but we are thankful that we can be together in this way, and that we have an opportunity to open the Word of God and look into it tonight and learn some things and renew some things in our mind that we think about, I know, but just to renew our mind and to in remembrance of these things. You may have to bear with me a little bit this evening. The pollen has really been bothering me this year. I don't know exactly why. It doesn't usually bother me as much, but I guess it's been pretty high the last few days. So if I have to excuse myself and avail myself of a Kleenex, well, you'll know what's going on. Brother Paul and I didn't coordinate the reading with the lesson tonight, but as you'll see shortly, it worked out. And sometimes it does like that. And the Psalms are passages that are oftentimes we turn to the Psalms in times of trouble, in times of distress, because they have a calming influence upon us. As we read some of the Psalms, they can be very calming when we're in trouble or we're in distress, other things going on in our lives. Many of them have a very uplifting message. And there are words contained in these Psalms that are, many of the thoughts that David wrote are thoughts that we can emulate. The words and the way that he was able to bring about a collection of words that makes it where we can take solace in these words. And so I would like to look at some of these with you this evening. As we know, many of these were written by David, king of Israel, and some were written when he was in bad times, when he was being chastened by the Lord because of his sin, when he was under threats of his enemies, threats of his life. They wanted to kill him. And so these were some of the things that were going on in his life as well. And some of these were written in the good times of David's life as well, when he felt his sin. Other times we feel a great closeness to God, the way that David did, and for his protections and for his love and concern and care for us. We consider David and the beginnings of his kingship. He was chosen by Samuel under the direction of God, not for his outward appearance, not because he was necessarily a good-looking person. He was not tall like Saul. He was a small shepherd boy, a boy at this time. So he was not chosen for his appearance, but he was chosen because of his heart. He was called a man after God's own heart. God's promise to David was that his house and his kingdom and his throne would not depart from him, and that his throne and his kingdom and his house would be established forever. David was a great soldier. He was a great warrior. He shared and a murderer. And yet, for all of his warring and fighting and shedding blood, David was the author of some of the most beautiful psalms of thanksgiving and praise. And he was a man of music. He was a poet. And this shows up in the psalms that David wrote. Tonight I would like to consider some of these psalms with you. They are some that you've probably read many times, but I've chosen these because of the uplifting message. I've tried to choose the ones that are uplifting, the ones that are edifying, the ones that will instill in us the same level of thanksgiving and praise as David had when he wrote them. They're worthy of our meditation on the Psalms. So I begin at the, as they say, begin at the beginning. Well, I'm not going to begin at the beginning, but near the beginning. And then we'll follow in a pattern throughout in a numerical order. So if you have your Bibles and you'd like to follow along, this will be very easy for you to do. And I would encourage you to do that. I'll be turning to these passages just as you will, so you'll have plenty of time to turn to these if you like. Begin. You shall keep them, O Lord. You shall preserve them from this generation forever. What comforting words these are, what uplifting words these are for us, and how edifying they are for us as well. The words of the Lord are pure words, and how well we know that. There is not an impure word of God at all. There are none of His words that are impure. Purified seven times, seven the perfect number. Purified in the perfect way, seven times. God will keep them. He will preserve them from this generation forever. And we know that this is true. We have the Word of God preserved for us. We know that His Word will stand forever, and that we will have these words as long as we live and as long as the earth stands. Turn with me over to Psalms, the 15th chapter, verses 1 through 5. Psalms 15, verses 1 through 5. These verses speak of a way to please God, our way of life, that we might be pleasing unto Him. Lord, who may abide in Your tabernacle? Who may dwell in Your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth with his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change, he who does not put out his money at usury, and does not take a bribe against the innocent, he who does these things shall never be moved. He who walks uprightly before God, working righteousness, speaking truth, does not cause his neighbor any problems, does not take up a reproach against his friend, and he says, honors those who fear the Lord. And we know that we can do that. We have friends, we have brothers and sisters in Christ, and we can honor those who fear the Lord, as David says. He who does these things shall never be moved. Steadfast from his enemies. But at the same time, the sentiment that David expresses for his deliverance from God, I think we can take those thoughts to ourselves as well, even down to our present time. We are not under threat of death from our enemies as David was, but we do have trials, we have persecutions, we have troubles, we have distress. So some of these psalms that David wrote when he was under distress will stand us in good stead as well. Psalm 18, verses 1 through 3. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength, in whom will I trust? My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. And as we go through these psalms, I think you'll also see that many of these psalms have been adapted to songs that we sing today. In fact, that's one that we used to sing a little bit. It was in the Little Yellow Book. Maybe some of you remember that. And when I read that, it's hard not to start out singing on that. But anyway, I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. And how true that is. The Lord is worthy to be praised, and so shall I be saved from my enemies. David's enemies were some that had been threatening him. Our enemy is Satan. We will be saved from Satan if we will allow God to do that for us. Turn with me over to Psalm 19 next. Psalm 19, verses 1 through 14. Psalm 19, 1 through 14. He speaks first, as he does in several of his psalms, about the creation of God and how wonderful it was, and how wonderful that God had the authority and ability to create in the way that he did, and to bring it about just by speaking it into existence. And then he speaks that God's laws are perfect. And lastly, he speaks of forgiveness. And forgiveness, as we will see as we go through these psalms, this is a recurring theme of David, because he felt that he was in need of such forgiveness at many times in his life. Psalm 19, 1 through 14. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In him he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from the heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. And that last verse is a summary of that psalm, and ones that we can meditate upon. As David says, the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. And that's something that we can all ascribe to today, this night, is to let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart, and those are the things that we are responsible for, what we say and what we think. And as David says, may they be acceptable in your sight in all things. And then he gives God and the Lord the honor and glory that is due unto him, my strength and my Redeemer. Next, let us turn over to Psalm 24. Psalm 24. And we'll look at verses 1 through 10. Psalm 24, verses 1 through 10. Again, he talks about the creation, and all that are in it are God's. And then he talks about the blessings of a righteous life, and the Lord of hosts is a King of glory. Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's, and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the waters. who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive blessings from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your head, O you gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Again, these are words of praise and words and pure hearts. What we do with our hands, what we think with our heart, those need to be clean, and they need to be pure. He shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Who is this King of glory, David says? Who? He is the Lord strong and mighty, Lord strong in battle. Who is the King of glory? He is the Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Next, turn over to the next chapter, chapter 25. In this psalm, David is seeking.
Okay, we're back. We're live on Facebook. I don't know really what happened on the iPad I'm using, but we're now on my telephone. So Bill can go ahead and finish his lesson for us.
Okay, sorry about that. The last scripture we looked at, I believe, was the 25th Psalm. And the next one I'd like to look at is Psalm 27, verses 1 through 6. And as I stated, and I think I said, that David many times wrote psalms when he was in trouble from his enemies, under distress and threat of death. But at the same time, I think we can take his words that he wrote there and thinking and thanking God for his deliverance. And we can take the same words and be strengthened by them as well, I think, in times of trouble and at all times, for that matter. So 27 verses 1 through 6, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and my foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise up against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. So again, David is saying thanksgiving and praising to God because of his deliverance. You know that as David was under threat of death and other persecutions, the Lord was always with him. The Lord had already appointed him to be the next king of Israel. So God was with him in all of the times that Saul sought to kill him and other enemies of David at this time. as he was running from Saul, some of the other people wanted to kill him, and Saul did. And David was always thankful that God had rescued him many times from his enemies. And we should also thank God and praise him for his deliverance for us when we are in times of trouble, when we are in times of stress, and we all have them to some degree or another. So let us also thank God and praise him because of his deliverance for us in times of trouble. Next, turn over to Psalm 31. Psalm 31, verses 21 through 24. Psalm 31, 21 through 24. Blessed be the Lord, for he has shown me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. And I said in my haste, I am cut off from before your eyes. Nevertheless, you heard my voice of my supplications when I cried unto you. Oh, love the Lord, all you saints, for the Lord preserves the faithful and fully repays the proud person. And be of good courage, for he shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord. So these words of David again are thanksgiving for his deliverance. David says he has shown me his marvelous kindness, and he was shown by God many times marvelous kindness in preserving him. Oh, love the Lord, all you saints. Love the Lord, all you saints. The Lord preserves the faithful. How true that is. And be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord. All you who hope in the Lord. And our hope is in the Lord. Psalm 33, verses 6 through 12. Psalm 33, 6 through 12. This psalm of David shows that God is sovereign and that God is a powerful God. Beginning in verse 6, by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the water of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the people of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. And again, David is going back to the theme that he talks about many times, the greatness and the power of God. And he talks about the creation in several of his psalms. And this is true here. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. All the host of them, he gathers up the water in a heap. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the earth stand in awe of him. David was always cognizant of the power and the glory of God, and that we should always stand in awe of God for all of his power and for all of his glory. I'll take a few more of these psalms. I have many of these that we could look at. My voice is beginning to go a little bit, but we'll take two or three more. Turn over to Psalms 36. Psalm 36, verses 5 through 12. Psalm 36, 5 through 12. Your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the great mountains. Your judgments are a great deep. O Lord, preserve man. You preserve man and beast. How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your pleasures. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. And again, the themes of David concerning the faithfulness of God, his righteousness. It is like great mountains, David says. He comes up with different descriptions of the faithfulness and the righteousness of God. It reaches to the clouds, and it is like the great mountains. Your judgments are in a great deep. O Lord, you preserve man and beast. How great is the Lord, and how glorified we should be of the Lord. How precious is your loving kindness. And loving kindness is used in many of the Psalms of David because the loving kindness of God that he had shown to him. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. And that phrase shows up in one of our songs, doesn't it? They are abundantly satisfied. You give them to drink from the river of your pleasures. For with you is the fountain of life. Psalm 37, verses 23 through 31. Psalm 37, 23 through 31. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell evermore, for the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell in it forever. The mouth of the righteous speak wisdom, and his tongue speaks of justice. The law of the Lord is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. These psalms, as I read through these, I think, you know, what am I doing making comments about these psalms? They are words that really need to be contemplated and meditated upon, and to go back over and over and read them over and over again and meditate upon them. There's just so much that David puts in these words that I can't do justice in commenting on those. But the phrase that in verse 25 is a phrase that we have heard many times. I've been young and old, and I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. And I think that is true, and I think it's something that we can see, that the righteous will not be forsaken by the Lord, and his descendants will not be begging bread. A person is righteous and seeking the right things, then he will be taken care of in one way or the other. That does not mean that he will have all that he ever wanted, but he will have his needs met. And the Lord, I think, will see that if a person is is righteous and seeking to do that which is right. I think I'll close with a psalm taken from Psalm 46. This will be one that you've heard before, and I think it'd be a good one for us to close on. Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still. And how we need to do that, how we need to be still and to listen to the Lord. Listen to the Psalms. Listen to his word. Be still. Be thinking. Be contemplating. Be meditating. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. These are but a few of the Psalms of David. I have several others, but my voice is going, and I don't want to speak longer than you want to listen either. I would urge you and hope that you will take the Psalms of David and meditate upon them, read them, contemplate, study them. Take the words that he has given us in his life and times of trouble and apply them to our lives as we are in times of trouble and distress and the things that might be of a problem for us. There are words in these Psalms that will lift us up, that will edify us, that will make us truly rely upon the Lord and his ways, and know that he is God, and that he is always God, that he is the all-powerful God, and the one that looks down upon us with his tender mercies, as David says, and his loving kindness. I'll leave that with you tonight. Sometimes on Wednesdays, not sometimes, but when we were able to gather together, we would have an invitation. We can't do that now, but we would just make a statement that if you're listening by chance to this this time together, and you have not named the Lord as your Savior, and it's something that you have need of, and something that you would do, you may contact any member of the church here at Gregory, and we would be glad to assist you in whatever your needs are at any time. So we'll close this evening with a word of prayer. Kind and gracious Father, we thank you once more, Father, for your word that you have preserved down through every generation, as David says. And it has been preserved, and it's been preserved for us that we can know and that we can understand, and that we have an opportunity to take these things into our hearts and minds, to think upon them, to contemplate, to meditate, and that we can take your word and then be willing to obey it, to keep your commandments that you have set forth for us. We thank you, Father, for the health that we are having so far, that we've been kept safe from the virus. We pray that you would continue to be with us and keep us safe. Be with all of our church family, those that we know. Be with all of the doctors and nurses that are working to help those that are sick. Be with our loved ones, that you would keep them safe as well. We pray that you would guide us, Father, in all things that we do and say, in our walk before you, as David said, that we might walk uprightly before you in our lives, that we would dwell in righteousness, that we would dwell in faithfulness. Father, be with us. Forgive us when we sin. Strengthen us. Always keep us near to you. And in the shadow of your wing, in Jesus' name, amen.
Well, hopefully I'll be able to figure out what happened. I'm not sure now. Hopefully the first half of Brother Bill's lesson was saved. I don't know if it's going to turn out there's going to be two things posted, or one, or. But when I get it figured out, I'll give you a call. I'll send you a text, one or the other. So appreciate you being with us this evening, and we look forward to being with you Sunday. Thank you.